This is Fresh Air. On today's program, we're looking at the latest developments in the Middle East peace process and getting reactions to the bombing of Iraqi missile sites. In the first part of our show, we spoke with Palestinian historian Waleed Khalidi. For a different perspective, we called Zev Chaifetz in Jerusalem. He's the associate editor of the Jerusalem Report and was the head of the government press office under Menachem Begin. When we spoke earlier today, I asked him if he thought bombing Iraq was the right thing to do.
Getting rid of Saddam Hussein is doing the right thing, and that was what the allies should have done 2 years ago. It would have saved everybody, and not least the Iraqi people, the nightmare of the last 2 years with Saddam Hussein. And if what happens now is simply another bombing activity which destroys some more Iraqi hardware, it still won't do the job. Evidently, this guy is not learning the lesson that Bush and his colleagues think that they're teaching. And so, while I'm all in favor of bombing Iraq, I'm much more in favor of some kind of a concerted action, whether it's military or covert or even diplomatic, if it could work, which would remove the source of the problem and the reason that Iraq needs to be bombed, namely the regime of Saddam Hussein.
Does Iraq still feel like a threat to Israel?
Well, you know, I suppose that logically it doesn't. Because we know that most of the ballistic missiles have been either destroyed or removed, and we know that Iraq is much weaker strategically than it was 2 years ago. But I'm sitting here talking to you from Jerusalem, and I am filled, as I'm sure most Israelis or many Israelis are, with many of the same emotions that we had 2 years ago when he was shooting scuds at us. It brings back, it's very evocative, it brings back the stress and the concern and the looks on the faces of our children as we put the gas masks on them. And so no matter how rationally we can explain to ourselves and reassure ourselves that this is probably not going to result in a repeated series of attacks by Iraqi missiles on our cities, there's still a certain degree of anxiety which is attached to this entire thing.
Are you preparing for the possibility of attack against Israel?
Well, we all have gas masks. I have friends who've arrived in the last 2 years who didn't have a gas mask, who went out and got a new one today. There are ads in the Israeli papers for secure rooms, chemical warfare-proof rooms that can be installed and so forth. To that extent, yeah, I mean, people here are prepared, and they're also, after what happened 2 years ago, in a sense, psychologically prepared. What already has happened, evidently, and certainly could happen again. Whether it will or not, the official Israeli assessment at the moment is that there's a very low probability. And the country is not on a war footing, and there haven't been the kinds of warnings and public announcements and so forth which preceded the war 2 years ago. But people are, let's say, at least in the back of their minds, contemplating the prospect of some kind of an attack from Iraq.
I want to ask you about a few things that have been going on in Israel and the Middle East. Let's start with the recent deportations of the over 400 Palestinian Islamic fundamentalists, the militant fundamentalists. Do you think that that the deportations have been backfiring against Israel? Do you think that the deportees have become martyrs and that they are furthering the cause of militant fundamentalism?
Well, I have no doubt that the very prominent, and I must say to a large extent sympathetic, Western coverage of the deportees has been a public relations black eye for Israel. There's no doubt about it. And in that sense, it's boomeranged. But it wasn't done primarily as a public relations exercise in any event. It was done mostly to both weaken the fundamentalist extremists on the ground, that is to say in the West Bank and Gaza, and also to send a message to the rest of the Palestinians, many of whom are sympathetic toward the fundamentalist point of view, but a majority of whom are not, that Israel will not sit by idly and watch a group whose ideology is the mass murder of Jews and whose practice is the individual murder of Jews and the collective murdering of the peace process, that we won't allow that group to go about its business as if it were the Kiwanis Club or the Elks or some other neutral or beneficent organization. It's not. It's a collection of truly demented religious lunatics and very violent ones. And so to that extent, in my opinion, it may have been a bad thing for Israel's public image, but I think it's probably been a good thing for the peace process.
Do you feel Israel had no choice but to deport them?
Well, it has. Israel always has choices, but the choices are less good than what we did. Israel could, for example, have sentenced them to death, which is, for example, what the Egyptians have been doing or what the Algerians have been doing. Israel could have expelled them forever, but in point of fact, it's expelled them only for between 9 months and 2 years. There are various ways of cracking down. This one, I think, appealed to the Rabin government because while it was an extremely clear message and an extremely strong message, it was also not either irrevocable or bloody. And to that extent, I think it represented, in Rabin's view at least, a sort of a middle reaction between doing nothing and doing too much.
My guest is Zev Chaifetz, associate editor of the Israeli news magazine Jerusalem Report. More after this short break. This is Fresh Air. If you're just joining us, and speaking with Zev Chaifetz, the associate editor of Jerusalem Report, and he's speaking to us from Jerusalem. Has the deportations been controversial in Israel? Is there any opposition to it?
Well, you know, it's really quite astonishing. The day after the deportations, the largest paper here, Yediot Ahronot, took a public opinion poll that showed that 91% of Israelis favored the deportation. And as you know, in a country like this, where everything is controversial, everything is debated, everything is a matter for contention, 91% is almost unprecedented. Then, a week later, after the media blitz abroad on the poor Palestinians on the hill and the Muslim fundamentalists wishing everyone a Merry Christmas and all the rest of that stuff, they did another poll here, and it showed that still 91% of the public supported the action, including the very left-wing and dovish parties which are a part of the Rabin government. And so to the extent that anything could be said to have an overwhelming consensus in this country where consensus is very rare, these deportations have got one.
How do you account for that almost unanimity in Israel, where, as you point out, there's always loud disagreement about policy decisions?
Well, it's pretty simple in a way. I mean, the Hamas people, I know they're sort of customarily referred to as the Palestinians or as Palestinian fundamentalists or something of the sort, but they really talk like Nazis. I mean, they talk about destroying the state of Israel and killing as many Jews as they can. You know, we have the tendency not to like the way that sounds. And we like it even less because it had been happening. Six Israelis had been killed by these fundamentalists just in the days that preceded the deportation. So that there was a sense here, I think, among many Israelis, among most Israelis, not just the right wing and not just the hardliners and not just the hawks, but also the doves, that we are talking about, not about a Palestinian group which wants peace with Israel or is in a disagreement with us over how much territory we should have and how much they should have, but a group which, as one Palestinian put it the other day, views this as a fight to the death with Israel. And if it's a fight to the death with Israel by people who are armed, it's not too surprising to discover that most Israelis would rather win it than lose it. And therefore, there isn't a great deal of sympathy for these terrorists.
The question of due process has come up. Do you think Israel should have held some kind of trials beforehand, before deporting the people who they did?
Well, I suppose that, you know, this is the one area where many Israelis felt uncomfortable. because there was an appearance in the way it was done that the government tried to sneak it past the Supreme Court. And they were caught at the last minute. In the event, there was a Supreme Court decision, so there was some element of judicial intervention here. On the other hand, speaking for myself, since the Hamas people have declared war on Israel, I think that it's, you know, sort of sensible to imagine that they realize that in a war, they're going to be treated like enemy soldiers. And just as in a war, when you capture enemy soldiers, you don't normally have a trial for each one before you put them in a prisoner of war camp. In this case, at least in my view, especially since they're not Israeli citizens and have no pretension to being Israeli citizens, due process, while it would have been pleasant, is probably not necessary.
What kind of long-term impact do you think the deportations will have on the Middle East peace process?
Well, there are two possibilities. What we're hoping is that this will have a positive effect on the process because it will strengthen the PLO. Now, that sounds like a sort of a strange thing to say because Israel has been so adamantly opposed to the PLO for so long. But the country is just beginning to come around to the idea that the PLO and the PLO surrogates who are on the negotiating team are really, let's call them the lesser evil here. They're people who actually have, even if reluctantly, come to the conclusion that there ought to be a peace agreement with Israel between us and the Palestinians. And therefore, there is a feeling here that it would be a good thing to strengthen them. And of course, Hamas, which is the organization whose activists were expelled, is the great rival of the PLO. The rival of the PLO in terms of actions in the field and also for the hearts and minds of the Palestinian masses. Now, experts here usually estimate that perhaps 30% of Palestinians support Hamas and perhaps the remaining 70% support the PLO line. And one of the things that this expulsion was supposed to accomplish was to weaken the Hamas support and to strengthen the PLO. It may be, in the short term, that the opposite has occurred, that people have felt sympathetic to Hamas and that its support has risen. But I have a feeling that after the dust clears on this, people are going to look at it and perhaps come to the conclusion that the Hamas approach, that is to say, the destruction of Israel or nothing, which has been the Palestinian approach for decades and which didn't really get them any place, is so self-destructive that that it may win some additional support for the more moderate or pragmatic PLO point of view. And if that happens, it will be very good for the peace process.
Do you think the peace talks will continue next week?
Well, I don't know. I mean, what we do know is that the Arab foreign ministers have called for the continuation of the peace talks. So it's likely to assume that the Syrians and the Lebanese, which of course are the Syrians' puppets, and the Jordanians will turn up. The Palestinians seem to be of two minds about it, and they may, in fact, not come to the first session. But I'm very confident that if they don't come to the first session, they'll come to the second or the third, because what's being negotiated is so important to them, and for them to boycott the negotiations would be so counterproductive from their point of view that it would take an extremely irrational decision on their part to keep them away from the peace talks.
Is this going to be another CNN night for you?
Yeah, looks like it. It looks like it. We're from my porch, you can stand here and see where the missiles came over the last time. So we've got a group of friends here who are all foreign correspondents. We're all waiting to see if they're going to be sent to Iraq tomorrow. And we're waiting to see what CNN says and what flies over the porch.
Zev Chaifetz is associate editor of the magazine Jerusalem Report. He spoke with us earlier today from Jerusalem. This is Fresh Air.